You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7 on this Saturday morning. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for tuning in. Kat Warren is a professor and former journalist who has an unorthodox hobby. She works with cadaver dogs. And her best-selling book, What the Dog Knows, Scent, Science, and the Amazing Ways Dogs Perceive the World, is now available in paperback. Kat Warren is joining me from her home in North Carolina. Kat, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Oh, thanks for having me, Mark. It's a delight to talk with you.
Fascinating to learn more about the olfactory senses of a dog, but one piece of conventional wisdom you discount when you say there are many people who say it. I know I've heard it. I probably have said it. Dog's nose is 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times better than a human nose. But you let us know in What the Dog Knows that that is not necessarily the case.
Well, you know, I think we like to talk in hyperbolic terms sometimes. When we know that the dog's nose is, in most instances, a lot better than the human nose. We don't know for everything, you know. I mean, I think that certain wine experts are probably better at figuring out what vintage a wine is than any particular dog. But it's also true that we don't really have these comparisons nailed down yet, partly because not just the dog's nose, but the human nose is still a little bit of a black box. We're learning a lot more, but we have a lot to learn, too.
A lot that we don't know about a dog's nose, but what we do know is that, well, for thousands of years, dogs have helped us hunt, and more recently, we've had dogs sniffing out graves with cadaver dogs, truffles, bed bugs. You share tales of dogs sniffing out cancer in nursing homes. It has the evidence there that their nose is a most amazing instrument.
Yeah, no, I think it's really clear. And I think that, too, part of it is this issue where we know that dogs that are motivated enough can be trained to distinguish almost any scent that we can isolate, right? So that, as you say, bed bugs, invasive species, endangered species, you know, I love the early studies actually figuring out whether a cow was in heat. No big surprise, right?
Right.
Gas leaks. I mean, the lists are endless, and I think that it all gets down to careful training and the kind of repetition that you do where dogs are so capable of sort of increasing their knowledge about these things, given enough exposure to them.
Well, your unorthodox hobby of working with cadaver dogs grew out of your love of your dog Solo, who was you describe him many different ways in the book, but let's just say a little bit unruly and driven, and you were looking for what to do with this puppy, and that is what set you on the course, correct?
That's exactly right, and I think some of the ways he was described would probably be bleeped on air, so I won't repeat some of the adjectives that we used for the first couple of years with him, but he was a singleton pup, which meant he didn't have other pups in his litter. The result of that was a dog who was essentially emotionally stunted with other dogs. He had no way of kind of sharing a common language. And a lot of pups in that situation actually end up being dog aggressive, and even sometimes people aggressive. They simply don't learn good manners. And certainly Solo was not, thank goodness, people aggressive in the slightest. He actually loved people, but he was certainly reactive with other dogs. And it made it, combined with his sort of energy levels and desire to do something, a difficult dog to, you know, walk around the neighborhood. So that's what drew me to this work via a trainer who suggested it for him. And as I note in the book, it soon became a real calling, because he loved the work and I loved the work, and it helped me fall in love with him as a dog.
This is Kat Warren. Her book is What the Dog Knows, Scent, Science, and the Amazing Ways Dogs Perceive the World. You can learn more about it at WVXU.org. And So Nancy, the trainer, said, what do you want this dog to do? And that's really the definition of a working dog, that she recognized this dog, Solo, was driven, wanted and needed something to do, and that's where the search for cadavers came from.
That's exactly right. And it was actually, you know, in retrospect, these things that start out seeming really odd, and then as you do them long enough, they appear perfectly natural to you until you mention them to somebody else who points out how entirely strange it is that you would train a dog to go searching for the dead. But part of the advantage of this particular work for Solo rather than, say, what we call live search and rescue is that because I teach, I can't always drop everything and run to somewhere where a child, for instance, is missing and still presumed alive, right? And part of the work, too, is that with cadaver dogs, they do sort of work by themselves, well, and with their handler, but they're not kind of involved in search and rescue. Sometimes you have lots of dogs descending on a site to try to pick up a trail of a missing child, for instance. And with cadaver dogs, it's a little more solitary work. And it suited him perfectly.
Solo is a German Shepherd, and you talk about German Shepherds and other types of dogs that are search and rescue and detection dogs, scent detection dogs. And we know that bloodhounds have a reputation, but you, in the book What the Dog Knows, say the bloodhounds, they're good. They're good in a very specialized niche, but not generally the best. That you think shepherds and other breeds might be better suited.
You know, it depends on the function and it depends on the dog. I mean, I know all sorts of problems that some people have with bloodhounds these days, in terms of being solid all around dogs. I know some great working bloodhounds. I also know some dogs that are great sort of mix-ups. So we have, like, in North Carolina, we have the Plot Hound, which is a really great scent dog. And part of it is simply that the assumption all along is the bigger the nose, the better the smeller. And we actually know that that's not necessarily true and that there are no good studies. I think that for years we had this notion, you know, the bloodhound, it was sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Right.
That's the best nose, therefore we're going to use this dog only for this, and look, the dog performs. But, of course, I've watched all sorts of different breeds of dogs work complicated trails, right, and do beautifully. And so, again, it's that both habit and myth sometimes combine to create these stories that we tell ourselves about bloodhounds versus, say, a poodle being a perfectly good tracker.
Well, I learned in What the Dog Knows that bears would probably be, if they were more cooperative, shall we say, the best in finding a scent. They are well known for their abilities to detect scents from long distances. You talk about pigs, and I love how one of the handlers was reminiscing or dreaming and said, I'd love to train a cadaver cat, and actually somebody tried to do that, and that didn't work out very well, right?
That's exactly right, and actually that was a great bloodhound handler and then subsequent cadaver dog handler, Jim Suffolk, who said that, because, you know, and we do dream about these difficult cases where getting a cat up in and into little nooks and crannies to search could be incredibly helpful because they're so agile. And, of course, they're mostly, not always, but mostly so uninterested in cooperating with humans that of course the military did try them and went, oh, you know, that bit about training a cat, it's mostly true.
Well, I love the line from the report that you put in the book. It says that cats were excluded because of their demonstrated refusal to cooperate consistently in joint ventures with man. So that's a good way to put
it. That's the early sexism you can hear of the military reports. I loved the fact that one of the reports was bragging on the fact that there was a study of pigs, and one of the very best handlers was this very tiny woman who was a military handler, and she was working with a huge Red Duroc pig that was upwards of 300 pounds. And but as one of the guys remembers, he said that pig would have done anything for her.
In love with the handler there. So, what the dog knows: scent, science, and the amazing ways dogs perceive the world. A book by Kat Warren, available where books are sold. Learn more at wvxu.org. And Kat, it's also fascinating in the book to learn what it is that dogs are detecting when they come for searching for cadavers. You talk a lot about training and how you build a foundation and how the smells are different, but it's amazing that we don't really know what it is specifically with dogs that they're recognizing, but you equate their detecting of cadaver scent with a human's ability to recognize faces. They have that clear a vision of what they're looking for. What is it that dogs are smelling?
Yes, and you know, it could be a slightly false analogy, since it's very hard to sort of correlate vision with smell. But we don't know. There are 480 different volatiles that have been detected coming off the decomposing human remains, and that's only in certain conditions. So what we do know is that we've got all of these different volatiles, and those are just the things that go up into the air column so that the dog's nose can actually harvest them, right? And we've got a range, if you think, between old teeth and old bones, and I've done it with Solo, my shepherd, and actually with my new shepherd, Coda. They have no problem alerting on 800, 900-year-old bone and saying, that's human. And these are bones that archaeologists have lent to us from the Mississippi Delta mound civilization. So these are very, very old bones. The volatiles are so faint that you would think, how could a dog ever recognize that? You know, clear up to the very recently deceased, right? And so one of the things you're obviously doing is you are training the dog on those ranges and saying to the dog each time, this is the kind of thing I'm going to reward you for finding, right? But you're also not rewarding them when they find, say, animal remains, right? Mm-hmm. And so the dogs can clearly distinguish, first of all, between animal remains on the one hand, and on the other hand, this huge range, if they're properly exposed, this huge range of human remains that is so complex and have so many different things going chemically with them.
I've learned a lot about the way we perceive the world through reading your book, What the Dog Knows. What did you learn, or what have you learned in working with Solo and other dogs and other handlers about the world around us and the way we perceive the world?
You know, I mean, that's such a great question. And I think that one of the things is that humans take a lot of things for granted. We make a lot of assumptions. You know how our vision can fill in fragments in a letter so that we see, we can read even really sort of dissipated text, right? Because our eyes immediately fill in the blanks. I think that we do that a lot with looking at, for instance, criminal cases, right? That we come in to a case making all sorts of assumptions unconsciously. And so the kind of reason that it's good to have dogs around that are able to work independently and have noses is that they can be a kind of corrective to the assumptions that humans make, right, about it was here and not there. And in a way, what I've learned is trying to turn off my constant judgment and trying to make patterns out of the world when I'm working a dog who actually has access to knowledge that I don't have, right, through his nose. And so learning how to watch the dogs and set the dogs up so that they can tell us as much as they can has been, I think, the huge epiphany of really letting the dog be in charge. Short of course, you know, you try to make sure that the dogs don't harm themselves, but to say that you're going out and you're going to let the dog, to a great degree, decide where to take you based on what his nose is saying.
Well, Kat, thank you very much for your time this morning, and thank you for the book, too.
Oh, thank you. It's a real pleasure to talk.
Kat Warren, her book is What the Dog Knows, Scent, Science, and the Amazing Ways Dogs Perceive the World. You can learn more about it at our website, WVXU.org, a great book that tells stories of cadaver dogs and drug and bomb-detecting dogs, as well as dogs who can locate unmarked graves from Civil War soldiers and help find drowning victims under more than 200 feet of water. Great stories in What the Dog Knows. This is The Book Club at 91.7.